You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Lunchtime brought with it a set of numbers from 2024. Quite an interesting set of numbers, lots to reflect on, lots to unpack that have affected the business throughout the year. I'm joined on the line by the company's Chief Financial Officer, Tim Jacobs, to reflect on these numbers. Good evening, Tim. Thanks so much for taking the time. What are your reflections on the numbers as a management team?
Thank you, Jimmy, and it's a pleasure being on an interview with you. I think firstly, I think we need to acknowledge that it was a very difficult year on a customer basis, both in South Africa and in the rest of Africa. We saw affordability hitting really dire straits. In some countries in Africa, we literally are competing against basic foodstuffs. We've got inflation sitting in some of our markets at over 30%. We have interest rates that are really high, and consumers are under in some extreme difficulty at the moment. Having said that, though, we actually believe that we delivered a very credible performance. We started off the year with some real pressure coming out of load shedding from last year in the last quarter. So we started off with a low base. That continued into the first quarter of this year. And what we did was we started to really pull a lot of levers, including cost initiatives, cost reduction initiatives, and that accelerated as we went through the year. So in the first half, we managed to save about 500 million rands. We indicated that we thought we would clear a billion. We actually ended up on 1.9 billion. So that was a strong acceleration of our cost programs into the second half of the year. And secondly, we were able to materially reduce our subsidies. We saved another 1.5 billion rands in recurring subsidies this year in the second half. And what that meant was that our organic performance from the group, including investment in our Showmax business, was up 24%. And then, of course, what happened was that we were impacted by an unprecedented 4.5 billion rands of currency translation losses. Now, that, just to put that into context, that size loss is the same size losses we've incurred in 5 years since listing. And that all happened in 1 year. So that resulted in a net profit being 21% down, but operationally up 24%. That 4.5 billion is the equivalent, the same number. So we incurred from 2019 when we listed through to 2023 for over 5 years, we incurred a 4.3 billion loss, and we did that now in 1 year. So the fact that we've managed to offset most of that through operational performance was a really credible performance by the team.
Absolutely. And given that some of these challenges are beyond your control, there are certain things that you can't really control, like what's going to happen in the currencies that you operate in. But I want to look at the Showmax business first, and then we'll come back to the currencies in a second, Tim. The Showmax had a very big focus on that Showmax 2.0 relaunch, almost rebrand, where the different value proposition was put to the market. And it even came in at a cheaper price point than the original Showmax. How has that been performing? And while we're looking at price points, how has that been comparing with the DStv side of the business? Because you've lost subscribers there as well.
Yeah, so we've actually had a really interesting time with Showmax. Remember that as we started to approach the cutover, we had to go and switch off some of our products that were not going to be offered on the new 2.0. So, for example, we had a product called Showmax Pro that had a lot of sport offering on it. That was discontinued, and customers were offered a combination of Showmax General Entertainment and Compact Streaming. And as a result of that, we saw revenue in Showmax looking relatively flat on subscription revenue. But at the same time, what was very successful is we migrated 100% of all eligible customers from the old platform to the new one. And by the end of March, 88% of our customers had reactivated on the new platform. So we saw a significantly better, let's call it technical performance from the team as we converted from one platform to another.
Tim, let's look at the DStv side of the business. Obviously, losing about 9% of the subscriber base is not an ideal situation, and the business would have had different challenges from a consumer point of view. But from a price point of view, do you think that the DStv side of it, or even the Showmax side of it, has been negatively affected by the increase in the momentum that players like Disney Plus and alternatives like Netflix are bringing towards what we've traditionally known as DStv, at least in South Africa?
Yeah, I mean, look, that's an interesting question, right? And we try to monitor The performance that is not published, so we have to use other sources to try and estimate what's happening in the market. But I think what we've seen is that the difficulty in the market seems to be fairly consistent across the board in all of the OTT players. They're tending to perform, including Showmax, is performing better than DStv did this last year. But remembering that DStv's got the bulk of video subscribers. So, when you have really tough, a very tough environment, we would expect our base to perform slightly worse and have a slightly bigger impact than we would in the OTT space.
Yeah. Tim, I'm just having a look at the numbers, some of the numbers around obviously revenues and costs. And I see decoder purchases was significantly down. And I think that's where the DStv conversation stemmed from, is we are seeing an increase in streaming, and you're seeing that in the Showmax side of it as well. And I guess I wonder if that means that people are moving away from traditional sources, so to speak, that they've known, and moving to more digital kind of services. But I suppose from a business's perspective, a business like MultiChoice, you have a couple of offerings that you can put to the market and get customers across varying products. Let's come back to the Africa operations, Tim. You mentioned obviously that those exchange control or the exchange rates and the fluctuations in those rates have negatively impacted the business quite significantly. Is that part and parcel of the reason the business has now swung into what is technical insolvency, even though the business is still on good footing? I suppose a solvency calculation from an accounting perspective is one thing, but you're still having clear conversations with Canal Plus about a takeover, and that would obviously come with investment, and the business is still doing well. It's just the technical definition, I suppose, is not being met.
Yes, indeed. So what happened during the course of the year, there were three what we call non-cash adjustments that effectively came through the business and impacted our group equity reserves. The first one was a currency issue. So we have some long-standing loans between the rest of Africa holding company and the Nigerian business. These are dollar loans held in the holding company. And because of the magnitude of the devaluation of the Naira against the dollar this year, the portion that that we call non-quasi equity, in other words, this is the portion that is a straight loan account, that number rolls all the way up to the group. And the impact this year was 4.5 billion rand. So a fairly sizable non-cash impact, but certainly rolling up and hitting our reserves at the group. The second thing that happened was, we mentioned this at the half year as well, we had to recognize a put option that related to our joint venture with Comcast. At the half year, that was 3 billion rands. At year end, that was revalued down to 2.7 billion. So again, this is a potential put option that will trigger in 7 years' time. And when it triggers, there's no guarantee or there's no indication whether or not Comcast will actually exercise it. But IFRS requires us to recognize that put option on day one. And so that's 2.7 billion rands. And then the last non-cash adjustment related to what we call our technology modernization project. When we started seeing these big currency impacts coming at the business, we started to much more aggressively look at protecting the company's profitability and cash flow rather than growth. So there was a very deliberate strategy this year. One of the things that we did was look at that technology project, look at the amount of time it would take us to complete that project, and then the cost to complete. And we just felt that with four modules already live in our business, we had two big ones to go. It wasn't worth the continued investment in this technology project. And then when you add Canal Plus onto that, there's a, you know, if a Canal Plus deal goes ahead, there's going to be a reevaluation of all of our systems relative to their systems. So we just felt that with a combination of these two factors, that it made sense for us to stop the project exactly where it was. Now, obviously, we had accrued and held in work in progress a number of years' worth of costs that were effectively development costs of the new platforms. And that resulted in a 1.2 billion rand impairment charge. Now, that if you add those three numbers, that's basically 8.5 billion rands that kind of impacted our reserves. Not a great position for us to find ourselves, but the good news is that it wasn't cash. Our cash position, our facilities are very strong. Our cash generation is still good. And so there's absolutely no going concern from our side at all.
And obviously, with regards to these changes or these adjustments that have to be made, very little you can do about it because international financial reporting standards requires that you measure them accordingly. I suppose, Tim, this would be an explanation as to what contributed towards free cash flow as well being down almost 80%. Is that the case?
No, because remember, these are non-cash adjustments, right? So the biggest reason for the drop in cash flow actually was our continued investment into the Showmax business. So remember that between the trading profit incremental investment, which was 1.4 billion rands, and the technical platform investments that we made, remember we had to customize the Peacock platform for our markets, that cost us another 1.7 billion rands, and then there was some additional working capital. In total, the incremental cash flow that we invested in Showmax this year was 4.1 billion rands. So operationally, we actually generated, again, really, really strong cash flows. That 600 million is after that big investment that we made in our Showmax business.
But also that investment, if I remember correctly, when I looked at the numbers, I think it was about 6 months ago, there was a lot of guidance given around that to say that there would be an additional investment required to get the Showmax business to where you wanted it to be. So I don't think shareholders are too surprised by the additional outlay of capital. You did forewarn the market around that. Tim, I want to look at something before I let you go, and that's obviously the elephant in the room, something you've brought up around the Canal Plus deal. That right. has had many people up in arms and many questions being raised around MultiChoice's current position being such a significant player in the broadcasting space in South Africa. And of course, that element of foreign ownership now coming into question where it relates to the MultiChoice deal. I know there's certain aspects of the deal you can't comment on, given that it is an ongoing development. Has the group as a management team at the moment thought about different permutations around how to navigate this? And what are you sort of looking at as a most favorable option at the moment, if you can shed some light on that?
Well, this is what I can tell you. I think the first thing that management is focused on is running our business, right? We can get very distracted by a big corporate transaction like this. And we're trying to make sure that as many people in the organization are not focused on the deal and they're actually focused on the day-to-day running of our business. The second thing is you'll see in the circular, the joint circular, that or the combined circular as it's called, that came out, two things have happened in that circular. Firstly, our independent board declared that they felt the offer of 125 rands per share to be fair. That was an important step because management were specifically precluded from participating in that. It was an independent board's decision. And, of course, they were guided very closely by the independent expert who was Standard Bank. So the second part of that circular was that we signed a cooperation agreement. Now, this is where management come in, right? So as a board and as a management team, we want to do what's right for shareholders. You know, it's not for us to speculate about, you know, what's right for the broader South Africa. I think what's really more important here is doing what's right for shareholders. And what's right for shareholders is trying to cooperate. And if shareholders want this deal to happen and they tender their shares through the mandatory offer, we need to respect that. And we then need to do our part to make sure that the shareholders get what they want, you know, as an outcome.
Absolutely. That is a fiduciary duty, of course, as a team that you do have to those shareholders. Tim, obviously the dividend is something else that shareholders would have loved to have received. And I suppose the team would have had various reasons around why that dividend didn't come through in this particular year. I want to look at that, but I want to look more broadly at the direction of MultiChoice after the Canal Plus deal goes through. I mean, clearly this deal will happen. We're just going to go through all the regulatory hoops and all the things that need to be there. But shareholders have expressed that they want this to happen. Do you have an indication at this stage of what a post-acquisition MultiChoice group kind of looks like? Does the strategy stay the same? Is it something that will be informed by the new owners and the new ownership that happens there? Are we potentially looking at a delisting? I know I'm asking you to speculate on a lot of things at this point, but I do just want to get a bit of a sense of, is this a conversation that's even happened at this stage within the team? You said you're focused on managing the business, and maybe this hasn't come up yet.
Yeah, so I think what we're trying to do as a management team, right, is not get too far ahead of ourselves. The first part of that cooperation agreement is really been to sit down with Canal Plus and see if we can find alignment on a structure that's going to work going forward. So at this stage, it's too early for us to comment on because we haven't got to the point where that has been agreed. But that is the immediate focus of the teams. And I think once we get through that, remember that at the end of the day, we're also competitors in the marketplace. So we also have to be very careful, about how far down the line we go until we know that this deal is actually going to happen. So while we are certainly going to cooperate and we're certainly going to try and do what's right for shareholders, we also have to protect the business. And so we're just a little cautious about, the timing and the sequencing of some of these discussions that will obviously happen with Canal in due course.
Everything in due course. We'll have to keep an eye out. This is certainly one of the most interesting acquisitions that has taken place in recent times, and it's gotten a lot of the investment community concerned and worried and excited about the potential future that this means. But we'll leave it at that, Tim. Thanks so much for those insights and for the time. Tim Jacobs, Chief Financial Officer at MultiChoice, on their group's annual performance for the last financial year and some of those movements that were unavoidable for them as a business.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.